The question of our age, Fusion. Path of Exile 2. What are your thoughts on it 3 months post-launch? I can't believe we're already here. It's March 5th. That's crazy, dude. How are you thinking about it?
Crazy. I've had a bit of a whale of a time. I took a break end of January just because I was getting a bit burnt out. I played it every single day from launch all the way through till probably around about 27th, 28th of Jan, and then I stopped. And I stopped literally because I managed to get my build sorted. I dropped 2 Astromantises, a Headhunter. I managed to chance an Astromantis, so I kind of felt like there's enough money, more than enough money. And then, as a lot of people also laugh at, is 3 days before New Year, I actually got a mirror in Ritual, but I could not defer it, and I couldn't take it.
Oh my gosh.
I literally had to just wave it goodbye and leave the map.
Was that your first mirror in all of Path of Exile?
No, second. Oh. I've had one drop in Standard, which was very annoying, because I was, you know, the 7-day period between leagues? I went into Standard just to mess around with the build and just to mess around in Blights, and one dropped in a Blight Ravage map, and I was just like, of all bloody leagues and all times for it to drop. So, yeah. So
that's,
I haven't seen
hurt.
One. It has got to hurt, yeah. That's the only one I've technically seen in-game, but even then I couldn't even get it.
Wow, so your luck is tremendous. So you 3 Astromantises, Headhunter, mirror that you couldn't defer. What build were you putting together with all that stuff, man? That's more wealth than I've ever seen in all of PoE on my account.
Yes, so I started as a Witch Hunter, and I was really enjoying the Mercenary class. I started with grenades. And then when I got to maps, the grenades were just too slow. It was just the fuse time, the duration was just taking way too long. So basically I switched over to something that was a little bit faster, which was a Galvanic Shards Mercenary build, which I did a full build guide on my channel. I kind of realized once you walk into a breach and you've got 3,000 monsters surrounding you in about half a second, you needed something fast. The Galvanic Shards Ascendancy with the Demon Explode just cleared screens of breach, and it was amazing. And it was a hell of a lot better than the grenades.
So that's something I'm curious about, man. Since you played it and started with grenades, what besides the slow feel of them and the fuse time, can you find anything else wrong, or is it really just that one thing that causes grenades to just be so below, I think, everybody else, where you want to have snap reactions to everything you do?
So I've seen a build floating around over the last couple of weeks where they were literally launching, I think it was something stupid, like 90 to 100 grenades every second.
What?
Now, yeah, it was, they were just like firing out like ridiculous. Now, I've not fully looked into the build yet, but the fuse time when they landed was still the same. It was just the volume in which they were firing out was just ridiculous. Yeah, the fuse time, even if you took everything on the tree, it was still very annoying.
Right.
Especially for, I think it's explosive. I think explosive's got the longest. I think it's, yeah, it was not short enough, basically. You needed, with the mercenary, as he said in one of the videos early on, you need that instant damage. And it was very apparent when I got into maps that I did need that. So that's why I completely switched the build. But I've done 3 different builds now. Yeah, 3 different builds. So I did the Galvanic Shards. Then I tried a Castwing Crit Ranger, which was then Fubgun. Then later took that idea and kind of pushed it on and took it further and took it to Mirror Tier worthy. Yeah, that was just insane. And then just after Christmas, one of my colleagues within the Path of Exile Discord, which I'll name as Jeff because he is well-renowned in the Discord, was playing some funky build, but he was flying through maps so fast. And I was like, how are you even doing that? And it was attribute stacking. So I was like, okay. And this was way before I saw anyone doing it on YouTube. Right. And he said, yeah, we're doing this. And Hands of Wisdom and Action. Do you remember the gloves?
Oh, yeah. Best items
they
game.
Yeah, they were at the time, they were like 9 divine, I think.
Okay.
Which, and then I think all the builds started popping out and they just went through the roof. So yeah. I managed to grab a pair just before that, but attribute stacking was insane, and I carried that build to, I would say, Mirror Tier worthy.
Wow, so your favorite would be the attribute stacker then?
Yes, and they are definitely going to nerf the hell out of it. Which, it's just way too strong.
Which one did you go? Did you go Gemling or did you go Invoker?
Gemling. Yes. Now, there is a buddy of mine that's in the Discord as well, in the Path of Exile Discord. He went Monk, and he went the exact same tree, but backwards. So obviously, instead of going from Gemling and going up towards the Monk, he started from the Monk and went back down towards the Gemling Mercenary. And he said the Monk was better, but until we get POB sorted, because POB struggles to pick up the first strike, second strike, third strike of Tempest Flurry and add it all together, we couldn't get a confident DPS number.
Or have you been tooling a little bit with Path of Building ever since it came out?
As soon as we... Because we had to do everything manually because the API isn't done yet. When I tried to put it in, we really struggled to get the DPS numbers like to kind of make sense. Right. So
there's a lot of stuff lying around.
Yeah, POB's ready, but half ready, I would say. It's not fully... It's not to the level that you have in POE 1 where you can just throw your build in, maybe change a few settings, a few calcs, boom, you know exactly what your DPS is. You can't do that in POE 2 just yet.
I've heard that the Monk, the Invoker build for stat stacking, is really good if you go crit, whereas Gemling is better, you know, non-crit variation, essentially. I don't know if that's like the case because of the Invoker's, the node that inverts resistances when you crit and everything. But I don't know if that's what your buddy was thinking about, you know, because that definitely feels good even on my scuffed attribute stacker. I finally gave in because I'm using Hands of Wisdom in Action, and I bought two breach rings yesterday for one div and then two div, and they have like 50 int, 50 decks on each of them, along with a few res. Oh my gosh, my damage just through the roof. Oh, big. It feels really good.
So my two breach rings had something like 48 strength, 47 dex, and 45 intelligence on both. So they were like 30 to 40 divine each for each ring. They weren't cheap.
Yeah, I'm not. So. I don't have that type. Well, I didn't get three Astromentuses. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. And now people are just buying up every Stellar they can find in the current economy. Stellars are at like 300x, maybe higher at this point. It's just...
No idea.
The league is, I think, a little scuffed at this point. And you were talking about Gemlings or attribute stackers getting nerfed. I don't know if you saw, but just before we hopped on the call, they released their build showcase video, right?
Yeah. The build that Jeff was doing before the attribute stacking was that. And he was doing that literally by day 10. And he said, have you seen this build? And he showed it me. And he was literally running around the map, breaking all their armor. But what he had done is he had a support gem on, which every time he broke their armor, I can't remember what the support gem name is, but it automatically reloads your rifle. So he was literally just constantly all the way around the map. Didn't have to worry about reload times.
Yeah.
So he was doing it way before that guy was doing it.
and these builds, man, see, I thought that they were going to nerf heralds and the big explosions. But, dude, if they showcase them now, I am almost feeling like they're kind of fine with Herald of Ice, at least, existing as it is. Or do you think that's too strong? Because every attack build, I swear, it's Herald of Ice and Hands of Wisdom in Action. Herald of Thunder. Or you can, bounce them off each other, too. You think that is going to stay in the game, or do you think they're going to give some breathing room for other types of builds to exist? Because right now, every class, I feel like, does boil down into one to two optimal builds, or viable builds, right?
So Herald of Ice is very strong, yes. Yeah. But I think one of the main things that kind of is pushing the damage through is the power behind the items. So, for example, obviously Pillar of the Cage God, that is just ridiculous. They're either going to nerf the hell out of that, or they're going to make it a super rare drop. So it's like a tier zero drop.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll never see it. You'll practically never see it. And with GGG, they usually triple tap things. They don't just double tap it. So they will probably nerf it, drop the damage on it, and make it impossible to drop. So that's just the way that they do things. And they'll probably do that for the Hands of Wisdom in Action as well. They'll probably make it like a tier zero drop from Zesht. And they'll probably drop the damage. Yeah. So Herald of Ice, I don't know, because they may drop the damage, but at the end of the day, it's the explosions that are doing the damage.
It is. It is.
So it's a tricky one, that one. I don't know how they're going to do it.
It's surely going to be curious to see what that balance patch looks like whenever we get it. Now, your journey through Path of Exile 2, you played three characters, campaign, end game, any particular system, you know, quite enjoyable to you or exciting you?
So campaign was absolutely fucking awesome. Loved it. When it got to the end of Act 3 and you saw, I think it was at the Cataclysm going off, and then you then end up on the beach. It was like literally like you just watched the end of a cliffhanger episode, and then it's like, tune in next year for the next episode. That's kind of what it felt like. And I was like, no, I want to carry on playing Act 4, 5, and 6. But now we've got to wait probably six to eight months.
Yeah.
I saw you saying earlier that you think we may get Act 4 in the next month or two. I don't think so. Because logistically, if you think about it, that means that you then have to do Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, then go back to the beach and do Acts just 1 and 2. That doesn't really flow very well. So I think they're going to keep 4, 5, and 6 together and just drop all three acts probably, I'm thinking August, September time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's curious. You're probably right. And I think you're right because Jonathan expressed a little concern, that same sort of concern, when he was talking about it live with DM and Gazi. He was like, oh, well, it wouldn't really make a lot of sense. And if that's what matters to the company, I guess they can go for that. Just to me, it feels like it's early access. Does it need to feel smooth? Can it just be janky? Can't you just justify it? Like, it's not smooth right now. And you go into Cruel and you're freaking downing bosses in a few seconds if you have like a competent build, and it already feels kind of jank. So I wonder, this is a whole other debate, man, if they really want to get the testing in for all this content and really fine tune it for that big release that's coming, I feel like they want to just drop it in when it's ready. And the quote from Jonathan is, the game, the content, the acts, 80% of the way there, right? When they started swapping to endgame, it's really going to be curious. Were they working on this act content, or are they expanding out the endgame more in 0.2? Or is it all going to be character focused?
I was talking to a few people in Discord a couple of hours ago about this, and the mentality that we're all in at the moment is that they should stop, as easy as I can put this, is pussyfooting around.
Okay.
So at the beginning of League, the beginning of December, there was a ton of builds that were being made, and then they instantly had to nerf them all because they were just like, yeah, this is too much. Like the comets. Do you remember the comets when people were raining down like 3,000 comets a second?
Yeah.
And obviously then they did it to another build, and then they did it to another build. So people were actually concerned as to whether their next build that they were going to go into was just going to get destroyed.
Right.
So they were worried. The way that we see it is we would rather they just do it and get it and just put a band-aid and just fix it rather than then wait 3 months then fix it with one big patch.
Do you think that they will reverse that, Fusion? You think? Or do you think they've made their decision? Planted their flag in the ground?
What for? The skills that they've already nerfed?
Just not nerfing stuff mid-league, because you're right. We have now had this, if they're going to have 4 month cadence for updates, right? And there's something that's obviously broken that I don't think they intended, something like the Herald of Ice, Herald of Thunder interaction, the Herald of Ice with the Blister Karn Ring or whatever it's called interaction, right? That has just existed in the game, and everyone will gravitate toward that because it's you know, the strongest thing, the coolest looking thing, everybody's using it. So a lot of people who don't want to explicitly be hipster will naturally gravitate to something like that. Same with the stat stacking and the attribute stacking. Do you think they'll reverse that?
I don't think so. I think the way that GGG, and I've been playing now for seven years now.
Yeah.
They listen to the community, and as much as I've seen it on the subreddit and people kicking off and they do have a very strong media team, and they will listen. If there is a valid point, then they will listen to it. And there is a good part of the community that will actually basically bitch about it on Reddit if their build gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. And what they don't want to do is upset the community.
Yep.
So they're trying to be a bit of a happy medium by letting people play, but also it's hard. Yeah, it's like letting them play but without nerfing their build.
It's really tough. And I was, you know, the developers, I think, during that whole Cast on Freeze debacle. And Fusion, it sounds like your mic has a little bit of feedback according to chat.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there's an adjustment you can make, but there's just a little bit of feedback there. I hear it a tiny bit. Yeah, not a problem. It sounded like the developers didn't really think there needed to be that big of an uproar over the nerfs with, you know, Cast on Freeze and Gas Grenade and all those things. But because it was propagated from, like you said, from Reddit to YouTube to Twitch to Twitter to mainstream news outlets. Like, seriously, guys, got to remember, Path of Exile 2 was freaking massive on Steam during that time. And PC Gamer and all these places are covering it. And when people were outraged, this was everywhere. There were YouTube videos that were popping off. And Grinding Gear Games probably saw that. And they, as a company, just made the decision, okay, well, we don't want to deal with this sort of outrage with our game right now. I feel like they almost saw it as a... I think the season that... or the moment that almost wounded Diablo 4 permanently was that first balance patch after release that I feel like, see, from my perspective, warranted. It nerfed a whole bunch of stuff. It made the game harder, you know, more difficult. Great. I like that. Lots of people did not like that. And everyone was so outraged. I remember, like, Darth Microtransactions videos going, you know, just talking about it, going 600,000 views, going wild. I feel like GGG saw that happening with their community. And they didn't want that. So, very curious.
I'm telling you, like I said, they're listening to the community at the end of the day. And they don't want a pissed off community.
I hope they reverse it, Fusion. I really do. We'll see. Like, I don't think we've got a 6 to 12 month early access. I think we've got a 1.5 to 2 years minimum early access. So it's a lot of time for change. You think 18 months?
Yeah.
During that time, is there something in particular you're looking forward to coming out that you're like, oh, dang, if that was in the next update, I am for sure playing it, for sure logging in. Is there anything that's like really tickling
four,
you?
4, 5, and 6.
See.
So the campaign, like I said, the whole point of the campaign was for... I remember the first ExileCon when they said that it was going to be one game, two campaigns, basically. They actually said you could pick which campaign you was going to do.
Yeah.
And then it was the same end game. And then that's gone completely out the window. And now it's obviously two completely separate games. Mm-hmm. But the campaign, I will admit, yes. Upon going through, I did play the beginning of Faerûcia. And upon going through that, I did kind of realize, the campaign in PoE1 is a bit dated compared to the PoE2. The bosses, dated. Mm-hmm. That would obviously pull me back. Next thing is Templar. I do want to see Templar because I like playing Templar. I want to see if Brands are back in the game.
Okay.
If Shadow is in the game. I'd need to see what Ascendices there are. So I'm obviously I want to have a quick read of them, see what type of skills there are. Have we got a Trickster? We'll have to wait and see.
Right.
Or something similar.
Okay.
I'm not that bothered for Druid.
Really? Screw you. Screw you, man. Come on, Fusion. Druid. I feel like GGG hit a roadblock with Druid. It's not coming for a bit. I just have like a feeling. Why don't you like Druids? What's going on?
So I played Druid in Last Epoch, and I don't know. There's just something about it. It just didn't feel right for me. But... It's not to say that I won't try it, because I've played every single class and every single Ascendancy in Path of Exile once, but it's not something that if they released it, I'd be like going out of my mind, be like, I need to log in right now, log in. No, I'd be like, yeah, I'll play it. But if they release in Templar and they were like, yeah, Brands are back, then definitely. I'd be like, yeah, you know.
I feel like a lot of people are with you. They're itching for that paladin, the Templar, yeah. Righteous Fire, the flail. Yeah. Lots of people yeah. are just... It's a fantasy that hasn't been fulfilled in many other ARPGs as of late. It's just in PoE1, really. And even then, there's just a few specific skills that fulfill it. Now, you touched on something that I want to talk about, because I think a lot of our audience might not even realize that this was the case. Path of Exile 2 and Path of Exile 1 used to be the same entity, right? One game, two campaigns, same endgame. Mm-hmm. You just said it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Grinding Gear Games made the right decision in splitting out the games? And why, if you think they did? And why not, if
so
you don't?
So I watched Ben's video the other week, which drew a lot of controversy. And mm-hmm. one of his main questions, which I kind of took away from that video, was he asked, why is Path of Exile 2 being made? Now, the whole reason why it was being made in the first place was for the campaign. And that was it. Nothing mm-hmm. else. So it kind of boggles me a little bit as to why they then decided to then make it its own game, which, you know, it's all well and good, but I think they have kind of dropped the ball on the Atlas and the endgame. The endgame in PoE 1 is superior. Way mm-hmm. far, far, far superior. The content, and I appreciate that's 10 years worth of content, but, you know, they've got 10 years worth of content there, but they've only put 4 in PoE 2. It mm-hmm. kind of just... Yeah, it just they've got it all there. They've got all the templates. They've got all the assets. They've got it all ready. They could easily just go boom, dump it straight in, mess around with the Atlas tree, off you go. But no, they're kind of drip feeding it in bit by bit. And yeah, I think that's there's not enough content as of right now. Hopefully, it's all in there by release, or there is a good 90% of it. But the decision as to why they split it. Is it a good decision? I'm on the fence. Okay. I don't know. Because when I was listening to Ben's video, there was parts when he said, yeah, there are good things in PoE 1 and there's good things in PoE 2. If they could take the good out of both and put them into one game, you'd have your perfect game.
Yeah.
So, like, the gem system and the gem screen and the linking system, I feel, in PoE 2 uh-huh. is a hell of a lot. I feel that is... superior
Agreed.
To what's in PoE 1, just because I had it the other week. I having to try and find a 6 link and have a mess around, I guess, and get sockets Rough. And colors. It was just, yeah, when you're in PoE 2, all of that's gone. You don't need to worry about it. Any item that you pick up on the floor, you can just slap it on. Off you go. That I loved. I didn't need to worry about having to check, oh, is it a 4 link? Is it a 6 link? Are the colors right? So, yeah, I don't know. Is probably the best answer I can put. Is fair. let's wait till we get to the end of the early access.
Totally
and what
fair.
They do. I have always had faith in GGG that they will do the right thing. They will listen to the community, and if they put something in the game that we're not happy with, they will usually get an uproar on Reddit, and then they'll fix it. mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of time of waiting until. That happens, and then they'll fix it. Like Towers at the moment, I don't feel they're in a very good position or spot.
But the GGG didn't do the triple tap. They did the triple down on Towers.
The
okay?
triple down. The triple on it. Down. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
I have a theory on that. I just don't think they have the time because they are focusing on acts and character content as opposed to endgame. And they don't have time to, like, redesign the whole system or just rid them entirely. Or there's that one guy there who's like, nah, Towers, we're going to make them work, okay? All right. We're gonna make Fetch happen, okay, guys?
That's Mark.
Only a few people. Yeah, I know, right? Only a few people will get that. But I feel like this isn't the last iteration of Towers we've seen. And I've seen a lot of excellent ideas pitched by the community. I won't lie. You know, sometimes we put on our gamer hats or our dev hats as gamers, and the ideas are total crap. Hey, me included. I did some ascendancy battles. They were total crap. But some of these ideas, they've been cooking, man. Do you
did
have
you
any
see
ideas?
The one on, yeah, oh. did you see? Well, I saw one on PoE2's Reddit that looks absolutely... Okay.
No,
looked
go for it.
Good.
Explain.
He said basically invert the tower.
Yes.
So yep. basically, not go. I don't mean like go down, because someone actually put in the comments, first thing you thought was delve, but he said no. He said invert it in the fact that make them as rare as citadels. Okay. And when you go into the map, you have to put your tablet in straight away. Then it empowers that map with like an uber breach or an uber delirium or an uber whatever it is, uber ritual. And if you are able to complete it, then it applies whatever content it has applied to every map in radius. Not just 10, every map. And every single person in the comments was like, this is the best idea I've seen on Reddit. And it was, it's got like 4,000 upvotes. And they're all like, yeah, this is amazing. Do it.
That is a cool
idea. And then there's, yeah. But there's probably things that need to be tweaked with that idea. But that was one that I read and I actually thought, well, that's a good idea.
That is a cool idea. Because as much as someone like myself, maybe yourself, tell me if I'm wrong, may love Path of Exile 1's endgame. And I just love that you are the complete architect of your destiny and you choose what content is in your map via the Atlas tree or through scarabs or even through idols. I got to level 80 in the Legacy of Freesia event. There was still a ton of content there. Even though I had the random idols, I could still pick and choose, you know, which ones were randomly spawning content. It's so nice. Do we want a carbon copy of that in Path of Exile 2? I don't think so. We don't want them to be identical, right? And as much as I want to say, oh, well, I want to just be able to choose exactly what I get in PUE 2, I feel like there does need to be some stark differences there. Do you agree? Or...
So we had this conversation again, and we've had it because I'm always in the Path of Exile Discord, so I'm obviously communing with people in the Discord, yeah, every single day. And there's always ideas floating around. And basically, we actually discussed it, and they said, you know, if they are going to do that, then why have they made it? If it's going to just literally be an exact replica of PoE 1, you might as well just move the campaign to PoE 1. There's no point. So, yes, there needs to be some stark differences, but what those differences are, though, has got to be good enough that it brings the community back every 3 months for a new league.
One portal per map? How you liking that, Fusion?
The amount of times, now, and everyone will probably agree with me in the chat, the on-death effects were absolutely ridiculous for the first... Was it 4 to 6 weeks? The chaos crazy. Balls, the detonate deads, there was just random explosions. My character would have a heart attack just running through the map. I actually was streaming one time and I just walked and just there was nothing on map, no monsters alive, nothing on the ground, and I just fell over dead. And I'm just like, what the hell just killed me?
Heart attack.
So it was just that was annoying as hell. So if you had that scenario and it bricked your entire map, it was very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So one portal per map, no, I don't like it. Do I want 6 though? No. Unless you are ferrying stuff out. I think if you die, you should get at least one more chance. So 2. A 2-part. I've said that a 2-portal is good enough for you to be able to then go back in, and if you've come across, let's say, a spicy rare at the top of your map, you just don't go near him. Go around the opposite way, loot the rest of the map, and just leave him. Just leave the map and just put a new one in.
Right. Oh, here's another good one, dude. Do you like the rare finder? You like just hunt?
No.
What is an alternative? What do you think? Almost like a Kirak mission from PoE 1? You know, because if they don't want to kill the map boss, do they do like, finish the breach or finish the ritual? Like, what do you think they can do? Because we don't want D4. Please, God, no.
No. So if they're going to keep this rare hunting Einhar type thing in where you've got to go and hunt the rares, they either, as soon as you walk into the map, you need to be able to see every single rare instantly. So you know where they are, so you can kind of path that way. What I don't like is that you've got halfway across the map and then it then shows you the remaining ones and ones all the way back near your spawn point and there's no checkpoint near it and it's just an absolute pain to get back to it.
Yeah, especially with the map sizes, right? Are you a fan of big maps, no movement skills?
So there are some absolutely dire maps and one of them rhyming with that word is Maya. I hate that map. Oh. Maya, I actually wrote a list of good maps and bad maps. And, yeah, Maya, Augury, Crypt, Forge, Valfoundry. Yeah.
Crypt is your feel-good, I want to blast through the map and, you know, kill...
It's too narrow.
Too narrow. For the league mechanics and everything.
Yeah, so if you had a breach, it's like this thin.
Oh, my friend had a 10 breach spawn on a crypt.
I'd leave.
Oh, like, it was rough.
No, I had a 10 breach spawn on Savannah. That was heaven.
Oh, that does sound good. That does sound good. What would be the best map? Wow. The maps are so beautiful, too.
Yeah, the best map is Wetlands.
Wetlands?
Yeah, there is...
The river?
Hardly... Right? That's Creek.
Creek, ah.
So Wetlands is literally just completely flat with grass, and there's probably about 5 or 6 trees, and that's it.
Give me an open field and monsters. That's what the players are asking for, GGG.
Yes. I hate Willow. I hate Blooming Field. And it's not because of the layout. It's more a case of the fact that there is that many void elements within the map that you can't walk over, and you have to walk around them. So there's like rocks, mounds, flower patches.
Yeah.
I've got skills that can decimate a god, but I'm defeated by a flower patch.
It's a rough situation to be in, dude.
Or a tree.
Yeah.
We should be demolishing these trees. There should be like, I don't know, like wreckable... When we do a skill, if there's a tree there, it should demolish and wreckable destructor. Yeah.
There you go. Oh my gosh.
Get rid of the tree.
Now here's an interesting thing. Now, would you be more okay with all these varied layouts? Because I like that not every map is the samey, right? It's cool. I think the problem therein lies with the fact you cannot choose the content that appears in your map unless you do the thing that I've never done, Fusion. I don't know if you've done it. The hyper optimized run all the bad maps, then put the tower in, then put the tablet in, and you're guaranteed to get your 10 breaches on the 10 good maps. Like, I've never done that. Apparently, you've done it. So, like, people do this.
I ran about 7 bad maps through the middle of 7 towers and did all the bad maps, went to all the towers, put all my breaches in, empowered them all with the rare ones, increased the quant, increased the rarity, did everything, and then I did all of the maps that were left, and the breaches were insane.
Do you like that? Do you like that feeling, or do you think it's tedious? No,
it was very tedious. What I don't like as well is the fact that I have to run crap maps just to run the good maps.
Okay,
it's like. I should be given like PoE 1. We've got the favorite map system. You can favorite your own map and run your own map whenever you want.
Now, think about this. What if we had more map or terrain altering features that we could use to interact with our atlas? Because we know that these are seeded. There's a set number of seeds, it seems, in each league. What if we had like tools where we could connect one node to another, or re-roll the map in a node, or like shift it in. Like, I'm wondering if they lean into this, you are playing with a map style of gameplay, and give you the tools to be like a god, or is that getting too into the, all right, now this is a completely different game, what are you doing? What's happening here?
I don't know if anyone managed to see this, but because I'm quite friendly with the guy who runs PoEDB. When he imported the game file the day that we were able to download it, in the background of the assets, we found 4 consumable items which can select which map you want to run on your atlas. So I don't know whether this is something that they're going to add in the future. There was 4 consumable items. One would re-roll the map that you was on. One would corrupt the map that you was going to do. One would swap a map with another map on the other side of your atlas.
No.
And one would pick. You could literally pick one of your maps you wanted to do and click it onto that, and it would change it. I was like, yeah, that. And when I saw that, I was like, yeah, that that item is going to be like a divine, minimum divine, instantly, if not more.
You're wrong, but then they, it's not going to be in the game.
No, but then they vanished, because then when we got into the game, they weren't there. And I asked him, and I messaged him, and he said, yeah, he said, they're hidden in the game files. He said, so they've made the assets, they've made the text, but they've just disabled it for the time being. So, potentially, that could be coming in the future. I don't know.
GGG, please. Along with, yes, okay, I like those four. Those four are super cool. As, like, rare drops from maybe the Arbiter or from Citadel bosses, because...
Possibly.
Or, I don't know, maybe Tower bosses, perhaps? Like, yeah. More incentive to get Tower... I don't know. Those would be powerful. I also have had the crazy idea, like, Doriani's Charter is what I've called it, because I've had Fusion. So many situations where I run all the way across the Atlas chasing a Citadel, and then there's a body of water separating me and the Citadel, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm like, I see the nodes, or I just can't, like, this is days of me playing, getting here, and then I don't see a path to it. I think it would be so cool if there was a rare item that you could buy or could drop that you could just use to click within a radius and connect two nodes. I think that'd be so cool. But
so I actually thought of an item. I'm not actually spoke to anyone about this, but the best way that I could literally explain it is kind of like a ward in League of Legends that you can put in the Fog of War at a particular place, and it reveals an area around, so you can see what is in that area.
That's cool.
And if there's anything in that area that you can potentially go for. So is there a Citadel? Now, obviously, now that we've got these beams of light, we can know where to head for. But let's say you've got a Citadel that's surrounded by water. You could put a ward up there and be like, can I connect up there? No, I can't. That means I need to go down. And it saves you having to go. But that was just an idea of mine. But I've had complete areas of my Atlas that are completely disconnected from my Atlas. I've had an island in the middle of an ocean that had a breach of delirium and a ritual on it that I couldn't even get to.
That feels bad.
It was a wasted proc on my tablet.
Yeah. I like those items that would allow you to interact more with the map. I think that'd be a cool sub-game to play, because you're right, in Path of Exile 1, they are rudimentary, the favored map system and your void stones and everything, but it's still giving you a way to interact with all the maps on your Atlas and be the architect of your own destiny a little bit more there, which I hope Path of Exile 2 will get more of. Now, another thing, since we're talking about the PoE2 endgame, that I actually just saw brought up in the chat here, is people thinking we've forgotten that Path of Exile 1 is obviously 11 years old. 12 years old? It's been out for a long time. It released officially 13. In 2013, so 12 years old. Almost 12. Mm-hmm. October 23rd, yeah. I think, 2013. I think that we all remember this. We also all know what Grinding Gear Games has stated many times over. You know, that Path of Exile 2 is going to have just as much content as Path of Exile 1 by the end of Early Access. Like, this is the goal. This is the big goal. That's why we're talking the big game. That's why we're discussing these things, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think GGG has maybe overpromised a little bit in regards here? Like you, I have faith in Grinding Gear Games, quite a bit of faith. I am their shill, after all. But I almost feel like the Druid is a great example. And maybe I'm totally off base here, but, you know, right before EA launched, they were saying, it's ready, it's almost ready, it's right there, it's on the cusp. And now I'm thinking, Huntress and Druid, I don't know if they'll make it, you know? Because they run into snafus, it's game development, right? What do you think about that strategy? Do you like that they're so transparent? Or do you wish that maybe they would be a little bit less so with far-flung future plans?
So I do like how transparent they are, and I think everyone in the community does like that. What we do hate is when they just go silent for months and weeks. We all hate that, because it's just like, what's going on? And we just have to trust that they are cooking the next patch or the next league or whatever it may be, which I would say probably 80% of the time they have been doing. This period from December to January, when they kind of went a bit quiet, and then Jonathan came back with his apology, was probably the first time that I probably felt a little bit disappointed that they had literally pushed PoE1 to the wayside, focused more on PoE2, and took all the developers to kind of fix, you know, all the issues with PoE2. I'm still getting people commenting on some of my videos where I've posted fixes on how to stop freezing. So day one, day two, and day three, my entire PC was hard lock freezing to the point where I literally had to hold down the power button just to turn it off to restart. I had to restart my stream on launch day, and a couple of days afterwards, about 7 or 8 times, and it was starting to annoy the hell out of me. I had to then go looking of how to do it. I've had people say that set their PC on fire, it shattered their glass on the side because it's got that hot. I've had people say it's burnt their graphics cards to the ground, it's completely destroyed it. Yeah, all this because of the game. And there's still people even now saying, how is it still not fixed? So that is kind of what I feel that they're trying to fix at the moment. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of metaphorical fires and real fires that they're trying to put out.
Definitely. Yeah. Those are quite important, I'd say. And yeah. And one thing that I think I've talked about ad nauseum is the fact that they're not huge, unfortunately, and it's very hard to hire people. And I feel like we saw that night before EA where Jonathan was just like, oh my God, there's so many people. What the hell is going on? And it was just way more than they expected with a title that they decided to call Early Access. And honestly, with that presentation 2 weeks before, freaking blew everybody away, right? And the game, it runs very well if it runs, right? And it plays like a full game. But there, for those of us in the know and caught up on all the news and what Path of Exile 2 is supposed to be, we know there's a lot of stuff missing and all that. So I feel like they were at least a little dazed. And I think they're still recuperating, especially with the whole Path of Exile 1 debacle that happened with Legacy of Freesia and now the 0.2 patch that has a lot riding on it, honestly. A lot of people are expecting it to be large, right?
So I think they have... Is it underestimated? Yeah, underestimated how much time and how much developer power is needed for a brand new game, which has then meant that PoE1's been pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. That, I feel, is blamingly obvious to the point where they've now had to then cook up Freesia, extend it for another month, which we'll come back to in a minute. I think I know why they've extended it. And then they're trying to drip feed us, obviously, now with the fact that we're going to get it in June. So it kind of gives us something to look forward to, and we're not just sat here waiting and waiting and waiting, thinking that this is going to be a 18-month Settlers League. It's going to be 11 month by the time it comes
11,
out.
11, yeah, yeah.
11 month, yeah. It's just crazy. But I feel the reason why they've extended it, so it was due to come out around about 28th, 29th of March, wasn't it, roughly?
Yes. Well, we don't know the exact date.
Well, yeah.
It was supposed to come out.
Around about end of March.
Yeah.
Last Epoch Season 2 comes out 2nd of April. Do they really want to try and compete? Now, it's... Yeah. With the criticism that PoE2's had and the praise that a lot of Last Epoch has had, it would be... I feel that they would be competing, which I don't think they would want. I think they want to try and... Not really bow down, but they just want to kind of give them a bit of space. Now, if they want to... Yeah, because at the end of the day, I actually watched one of the dev talks the other day from Last Epoch.
Mike?
And... Yeah, and he actually said that he's been playing PoE2 and he's been playing PoE1. So, and he's had a go at Legacy of Freesia. So, you know, he respects the game, and I believe that some of them actually designed Last Epoch based on ideas of Path of Exile.
Yeah.
So, it's a case that, you know, there is a bit of a mutual respect between the two companies.
Right.
And don't think they want to purposely try and release it and try and, you know, clash at the same time, because people are going to want to play.
Oh, yeah. I really want to try this next Last Epoch season. They have been putting in some substantial work, dude. Yeah, are you going to be trying it out then? Yeah?
Definitely. The last league I played was it April? It was April last year, I think. Yeah, April last year when they did the Harbingers. And then when they did the reset, I think it was in September...
Right.
I'm trying to remember now.
Yeah,
I did it. I started again and thought I'd have a go. And I think the reason why they did a reset is because there was like a money dupe situation that kind of a lot of the community was a bit angry about. And they fixed it and then reset the community.
Yeah.
So, and I played that, but yeah, it is very, it's a lot different, I feel, to Path of Exile. There's no like huge skill tree like you're expecting. It's a little bit more simpler. And it's probably one of the only games that you could literally pick any skill and just go blind, and yeah, you would probably make it through the axe. Whereas probably couldn't do that in PoE 1.
Definitely not.
Possibly you could in PoE 2, because they've made it a little bit easier for newbies.
Right. I think you can brute force your way through in PoE 2.
Yeah,
definitely.
PoE 1, I think if you walked in and just be like, oh, I'll level with Freezing Pulse, yeah, you'll die in Act 2.
Yeah, chain hook, you know, and just trying out some crazy stuff. What are you... I know we only have that trailer on that release page, but what excites you the most about the last Epoch season?
WASD, because I must have pressed WASD about 70 times in the first 5 minutes of Freesia. Before I even got off the beach, I must have pressed WASD a good 70, 100 times, and I was just like, just stop clicking. So, yeah. That I'm looking forward to. The Ascendancy respec, that is something that was a little bit annoying for me, and it kind of demotivated a lot of people. So previously it was like PoE 2 is now. You couldn't respec your Ascendancy. If you wanted to try another Ascendancy, you had to level it. They basically have now put that in, so you can. So you can now just swap like you can in PoE 1, which is going to open up a hell of a lot more gameplay for people, more time to play. I'm looking forward to the new changes of the Woven stuff on the Monoliths,
right,
which is like maps, basically.
Yep.
It looks like there's like dungeons that are you can add in, and like the cemeteries. I don't know what they are. They look like maybe empowered tombs. I don't know.
They're procedurally generated too, and this is their first foray into that, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't actually know that.
There's something you can put on your monoliths as well. There was like a woven menu that you could literally click and drag it on, which I don't know what that is.
The Woven faction,
already,
it's the skill tree. It's the Atlas passive skill tree in Last Epoch. That's what it is.
No. There was another menu where they had like woven consumable things, and they dragged it onto a monolith, and then changed it and added like a web behind it. And you then go into that map. Or monolith. No, I still call it maps because it is a map at the end of the day.
Maybe they're letting you craft your own maps then or something, you know, because Last Epoch doesn't allow that.
Yeah. The woven things could have like modifiers on it that may make them even harder. It may force a boss in, stuff like that. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. They've added in new crafting. That looks awesome. The crafting in Last Epoch is so. Yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of potential. A lot of different options you have.
Well, it's not just that. It's if you're leveling through the axe and you need some fire res, you can literally throw your item into your window. Suffix, fire res, boom. Throw it back on. Done.
Right.
It's that easy. If you want health, put it on. If you want life, put it on. But obviously, when you start doing uniques, you can't do it with them.
Yeah.
But it's very... I think that's why it's a lot easier, I think, when you're going through the X, if you're struggling with reses and things. But the whole thing is very, just looks very slick. You can tell they've been cooking on it for the last 12 months.
Oh, yeah.
I
hope they get their chance to shine. I really do. So even though I would love, you know, sooner point 2 for Path of Exile 2, I really hope it doesn't interfere with that April 2nd release. I hope EHG just gets that big chance to show off everything they've done. The trailer's at like 800,000 views. That's big for EHG. I mean, like, that's GGG level trailer stuff going on there. So
I think it was last year we had about 225,000 people at peak, if not more.
Yeah.
Which is like the same level as like PoE. Yep. So
I think it was 282. Was it 282? Am I crazy?
Possibly. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I remember seeing it going up and up and up and up. But last year, though, they had a ton of issues. There was people playing off. There was, like, offline. It kept coming up with errors. So they didn't have the best launch week. But when they did the reset in September, it went a hell of a lot more smoothly. There was no issues, no problems. So as long as it stays like that, yeah, we're probably talking easily 250,000. We'll probably come back.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I'm trying to convince all my friends who tried Path of Exile 2 after refusing to play PoE 1 for years to jump into Last Epoch. I think I have at least one of them. I really hope they give it a go. I'm like, it's only $30. It's such a great, like, you can do everything without relying on any guides, just like you did in PoE 2. You can have that experience. Sure, the graphics aren't, you know, as realistic, and it's not as, like, I don't know. I'd say it's more floaty than Path of Exile 2, like the combat and everything. But all the systems and your character customization, and it's just a fun experience. Like, I just had fun when I was playing Last Epoch, and I didn't have any real frictional elements. I guess I just ran out of having fun, and I stopped playing, right? There was nothing that made me stop, like, oh, wow, this, you know, I'm trying to find this item, and I just can't find it, or I need this currency, and I can't do it, or I can't respect my character. It was just, I'm bored now, I'm moving on.
And did you get out of the X? Or?
I got into the right into Empowered Mottos, and it was just like it was just like boring. Like, you know, with Path of Exile 1, I would finish challenges, and then I just knew I was done. Like, I finished a goal, and I'm done. My goal was to kill Aberrath in his intro expansion. Just couldn't push myself to do it. It was just too slow and grindy, and I played like 100 hours, and I still didn't reach him. So I'm hoping that experience feels better. Like, it's a more gradual build-up to him, and there's more fun things to discover, and it really seems like that's what they were cooking these past 9-10 months.
It's because of the harbingers, because the fact that you had to collect all these harbingers, that's what took the time. That was the grinding element of it, and I was kind of the same. I managed to get to Aberrath, but I understand what you mean, though. There was quite a few people that I know that did drop out.
Yeah. I'm gonna. Do you know what you're going to start as, or are you waiting for patch notes like a smart person?
So, I have two builds in mind already, so I've already planned. One of them is a Rune Master. The other one I'm 50-50 on. Potentially Falconer. I was trying to remember the name there for a second. Okay. When you got PoE 1 Ascendancies and PoE 2 Ascendancies, and the edge just gets blown. Yeah, because there's that new Heartseeker skill, which I'm curious. I want to see what the damage numbers are first on the patch notes before I decide. But I have a build in mind that's Rune Master. That if all else fails, that will fly through. That will fly through the axe. No issues.
Okay. Rune Master. I really want to try. I heard that the button pressure was too much. Have you played Rune Master before? Is that a little
So with the Rune Master, so there is a bit of spamming. So basically with the Rune Master, you have to press three buttons in certain sequence and then press another button. But what it unleashes, it then... you've got to be like... You got to do like fire, lightning, fire, or fire, cold, lightning, or fire. Yeah, you got to do a combo of three elements, and depending on what order you do it in, it unleashes something big. So, but yeah, it is a bit clicky. If people don't like to press too many buttons, then yeah, I don't understand why. You could go druid. I know you want to go. Are you going to be going druid?
I'm feeling the Forge Guard I think it's the Forge Guard because they're getting a rework, and I think they're getting Sentinel. This ability where Sentinel's a rework, and you can wield a two-handed weapon and a shield. And I don't think 11th Hour Games is doing the whole -25% attack speed, 3 seconds increased attack time and stuff like that. So I want to give it a go and compare it to how maces or the two-handed mace shield feels in PoE 2. I think that'd be a fun comparison to, like, almost do a split screen eventually and be like, well, here is this archetype in Last Epoch. Here it is in Path of Exile 2. Let's see what feels more fun, GGG.
So one thing that I feel that PoE 2 does need, just to come back to that, and obviously because we're talking about skills, is I feel that it does need more skills and more supports. I feel that the skill menu is a bit bare. If you compare it to like PoE 1, again, I know I'm comparing it to a game that's got like 12 years worth of content, but they've got it all there. It's very annoying. They've got all the skill gems, they've got all the ideas. They could literally just throw some of them across. I know some of them they have, but same with the supports. It felt a bit lackluster, some of the supports. Sometimes I would have an item, an aura or a skill that I wanted to six link, but then when I would look at the skills, there was not enough supports that went with
it.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing that really pissed me off is that there is no... I must have consumed a good 100 support gems by consuming another support that I already had in my stash, because there's nowhere on the support menu that says you already have the support in your stash.
Right.
But that's not the only issue. The second issue is that you would buy the support and then you would then try and drag it into your skill, because if you press all gems, it would just show you all gems. It doesn't show you the ones that would only apply to your skill. So if I wanted to try something else that I know that would work, I can do. But sometimes on some occasions you would go to this all gem screen and you didn't know whether it would work until you actually consumed it. Then you try and drag it in and it didn't work.
I had that
so
happen.
It needs it needs the little box, you know, the box in PoE 1 that has like a little green ticks, red X, and it tells you what skills it supports. We need that in PoE 2.
I think it is in PoE 2. It just doesn't appear all the time. I remember seeing it, like, the first time I tried to do that. It is, right.
Yeah.
And it needs to be there, because I was trying to make projectile gems, sport gems, work with charged staff. I thought I was a genius. I was like, oh my gosh, this is already busted. I'm going to get multi-proj in here, or whatever it is. It's something different in PoE 2. But I'm going to increase the projectiles. I'm going to increase their speed and everything. And then I realized, oh, it's not considered a projectile. Dang it. My gosh.
No.
But it was allowing me to, like, select it and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Icky. But, yeah, I'm excited to see all these new support gems that they're adding. Like, they're taking Molten Strike from PoE 1 and turning it into a support gem in PoE 2, which is very interesting. Like,
what to wait and see.
That, right. Like, we saw it in action. It did not work well. Because I think it was the base. And it's like, you swing, the projectiles are going out, but the boss moves. Because everything's so mobile in PoE 2. So by the time the projectiles hit the ground, well, the boss is already halfway across the area now. Yeah, so it's really interesting to see how, because I think a lot of this stuff is being developed after they've seen how players have interacted with the game too. I don't think they're still being made in that vacuum of hundreds of thousands of players not playing the game. That brings me to the last thing that I really wanted to dive in with you, Fusion, is the ascendancies that are coming. We know that there are multiple ascendancies coming. We know one appears to be for the mercenary. Any speculation on what that might look like and what other classes will be getting an ascendancy?
So one thing I've noticed is with all of the ascendancies, they all seem to give it away in the picture, what it involves. So if you look at the artwork, obviously the Witch Hunter looked like Van Helsing and he was a demon man. If you look at the Gemling, he's covered in gems. Obviously he's for attributes and gems and things. If you look at the recent mercenary, he's got a ballista, massive ballista right behind him. So I'm gonna think or assume that he could be some form of ballista merc, where he'll have bonuses of the volume of ballistas he has out, maybe the attack speed of the ballistas, maybe he can have multiple ballistas out all at the same time, things like that. That's what I'm thinking with him.
Okay.
In terms of other ascendancies that are getting, other classes that are getting ascendancies, they could potentially, depending on how much they've been cooking, is add the third ascendancy for all of the classes that we currently have.
True.
The Witch, the Ranger, and then as a double bonus, I am predicting that they are going to drop the Druid and the Huntress.
You do think they are? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But only with two ascendancies, not with all three.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
They actually, as you said, he actually said, didn't he, in November that they were ready, but not quite finished.
Yep.
And that was, what, 4 months ago?
They've
had more than enough time to just put those finishing touches to it and just add it up. If I remember rightly, I remember seeing gameplay of the Druid and Huntress in July last year when they were playing in Germany. And people were playing the Druid and Huntress, and they were fine. I've seen the gameplay, and I've watched it.
Not the Druid. The Druid Gamescom 2023 was the last time it was playable, and we saw it. In the console, I have stupid memory for this because I love the Druid. And we saw the bear form in the console trailer. And that is our last glimpse of the Druid.
So we must have seen Huntress last year. Because
We've seen the Huntress. Yep.
Well, with the fact that they've got that far, they've got the skills, they've got everything ready, it just needed some finishing touches.
Yeah.
They may push it out. Don't know. They may still be cooking on it. Also Spectres as well. They did say that Spectres were going to be held back in December. Again, they've had 3-4 months to work on it. That should be coming. And if so, Gazzy will be happy.
He will. He will.
Any Minion players will be happy too.
Seriously, because there's going to be so many different just possibilities with all the monsters and their abilities in PoE2, just seeing how they interact with the environments and seeing what their buffs do, all that. Like, that'll be so exciting. I might give Minions a try.
Yeah, it is. In PoE2, I would only play Minions if they've got Spectres and they fixed the AI with the doors. I believe that there's a hell of a lot of issues when they wouldn't go through the doors. They would all just sit on the other side of the door and just look at you.
I think they've mildly improved that with a recent patch, but I am not a Minion player, so I don't know actually was worked.
I've not done it.
Yeah.
In terms of other ascendancies, I'm thinking, I don't think we're getting Marauder. I don't think we're getting Templar, and I don't think we're getting Shadow till at least middle of the year, August. I'm thinking when they drop Act 4, 5, and 6, I think they'll probably drop the three other classes at the same time.
Okay.
So, because the way that I'm working it in my head is they're going to release something at the end of April for PoE2. Then will that give them the full month of May and probably a chunk of June to get 3.26 done if they're not already working on it? Then when that comes out, they'll probably have a few weeks or so while they fix anything that's issues, bugs, balancing, that they, like they always do.
Yeah.
And then as it rolls into the end of July and August, they'll want to then be pushing something out ready for August for PoE2. So I'm thinking August, September, they'll then want to be rolling something out. Because as per Chris in ExileCon, didn't he say that he wanted to do a 12-week cycle, then he envisioned a 12-week cycle, run PoE1 for 6 weeks, then roll over to PoE2, run that for 6 weeks, then jump back to PoE1 for 6 weeks. If they really want to get back into that cycle, they need to start doing it.
The vision. That was the vision. Yes, 100% true. Was.
Before he left.
Yeah, I'm thinking the vision. Sadly. Very sadly. Man, I know that there's not going to be a public statement on that, but I don't know. It would be cool.
If you work out the dates, he left, I'm guessing, about 2 or 3 days before Jonathan did his sorry video. So I'm going to assume that there was probably a bit of an exchange in the office that he probably wasn't happy with the way Path of Exile was being treated, or Chris knew that the community wasn't going to be happy with the fact that he may have let the community down and let it just be pushed to one side.
Really?
And just took a graceful bow out.
Man, I think it was just a long time coming. I don't know. I don't think it came to a... Once again, we're talking out of our arses here, but I think it was just a long time coming, because he's been, ever since, what was it, Settler or Trial of the Ancestors, he did the reveal with everybody. I think he was in the Q&A, and even then he was a little bit distant.
Is that when he was just sat there and only said like one line or something?
It was either Trial of the Ancestors or the League after that, so that was Affliction. Yeah. It was one of those. And then the next one he just did the, "Hi, I'm Chris Wilson." And that was the last we've heard. Yeah. That was it. So I feel like it was just a slow bow out. It was about a month after PoE2 went into early access, which is basically a release. Maybe he was like, "All right, I helped you guys see this through. Chilling. Peace. I'm going to go play Magic. I'm going to go design a Ray class themed card game with my little share of everything." We'll see. But I hope nothing bad happened. I feel like all those guys get along rather well. I think Eric Olofsson still like helps a little bit with the creation and design.
I believe he's still got some shares in the company.
Still some shares, so you know, so maybe it's
probably
my
still have some input.
Yeah, maybe it's my little fantasy world, and I'm like, I hope all these guys who got together, started the company, created this awesome game, are all still on good terms. But you know, reality can sometimes be disappointing. I know from my real job. So
yeah. We'll just have to wait and see, but yeah, it's very coincidental that when I saw the New Zealand the website that obviously said that when he was obviously resigned, it was very coincidental that literally within about 2-3 days Jonathan then released his video.
Yeah.
So, because you can imagine that it was probably recorded 3 or 4 days prior to when he released it, because he would have had to edit it. So, and it was very coincidental that it's very, very close. It's like a day or two away.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we will probably never know. Maybe there will be a tell-all one day. All right, man. Well, this has been a phenomenal time. Can you tell everybody in the chat and everybody watching the VOD right now where people can find you? YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, anywhere else?
Yeah, so on YouTube, you can type in Fusion Gaming 101 and Twitch the same. I will put links if you want in the chat if you're happy with that.
Yeah, that okay? Dude, 100% yeah, fine. Yeah. Yeah, they'll be in the description of the video too.
Yeah, so obviously if anyone wants to follow me, you're more than happy to.
Awesome.
There you go. Posted in both.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, it's been a great time. I hope you have a wonderful night. I know you're a night owl, but I still hope you get some sleep, okay?
I will do. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Fusion. Talk later. Bye.
See you in a bit.